Manifesting is actually natural. It's not something that we do. It's who we are. We're always manifesting. Sometimes it's what we want and sometimes it's not what we want. We're manifesting our beliefs. We're manifesting the energy we put out. So no matter what's happening in our life is a manifestation of what we are sending out to the universe.
Welcome to The Lavenderit Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to shine as your brightest self and create your dream life. We all have a light within and the power to create a life we love. Every Sunday, we'll share thoughtful conversations exploring how we can build a better future for ourselves and our world. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Lavenderit Lifestyle Podcast. It's Eileen. Today, we have a very special guest for you. She is someone who has inspired me from the beginning of my personal growth and spiritual journey. She is an icon, a thought leader, and someone that I see as a person who brought spirituality to the mainstream and made it more accessible. Today, we'll talk about manifesting, spirituality, and healing, how to overcome limiting beliefs and undo your biggest blocks, and how to stay connected and grounded while living your best life. Our guest today is Gabby Bernstein. Gabby is a spiritual teacher, number one New York Times bestselling author, and founder of the Gabby Coaching app. She has written 11 books, including Self Help, The Universe Has Your Back, and her latest, an Audible original, 7 Habits of a Super Attractor. Gabby has been featured on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday as a new thought leader and recognized by the New York Times as a role model for a new generation of spiritual seekers. Hello, Gabby. Welcome to the podcast. I am so, so, so excited to have you today.
It's so good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I do have to let you know that I loved your book, The Universe Has Your Back. I've been following you since like 2015 or something. And one thing that you've done, do you remember doing something called the Liberation Kriya, where it's like this?
Yeah.
I have done that and I've shared it like twice with my audience on YouTube, just wow. FYI, in case Girl. You didn't know.
So good.
Yes. Okay. So you are such a guiding light. How would you describe what sparked your spiritual journey and how would you describe your work to people who are new to you?
What sparked my spiritual journey was my mother. I was taught how to meditate as a child. And my mother used to bring me to ashrams and I was named by the gurus and I was given that gift of a spiritual connection at a very young age. That was the spark that really felt almost like a seed that was planted that really gave me this sense of knowing that there was more beyond my physical sight. And even though I turned my back on that for many years as in high school and in college and post-college even, I always knew it was there. So that was a very valuable experience, which I'm working to distill in my own child, to instill in my own child and give him the experience of recognizing a spiritual relationship of his own.
Okay. So it started super early. And then what inspired you to go into this line of work and share spirituality?
Exactly 20 years ago, I got clean and sober. I was 25 years old. It was October 2nd of 2005. I made the decision to change my life because I'd been really living in a way that was very destructive and very chaotic. And I was running. And in the path of sobriety, I reclaimed those spiritual roots that I established as a child. I returned to that faith and I made it a commitment to develop that faith one day at a time. And in doing so, in developing that faith, I started to feel very called to teach and to give that message to my friends, to my neighbors, to my strangers, and then to audience members. So very quickly, I started speaking publicly and talking about spiritual practices to give people the messages that they needed. And I know I needed. So I knew if I needed it, somebody else needed it too.
Was your mom surprised to see you go into this line of work?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. So she kind of saw it coming. She's like, it's always been in you.
Yeah. I don't think she was surprised.
Love it. Okay, so Gabby, you've written 11 books. Which one do you feel is the most powerful for people to start with if you were to recommend one?
I think that the starting point for most people is often often the universe has your back, actually, because that's a place where folks can say, they can see themselves in that book. It's this transform fear into faith is the subtitle. And the guiding message, the core message of that book is that there is a spiritual relationship beyond your physical sight, and here's how to access it. And so I think that so many newbies to spiritual practice are going to find their answers in that book. And that's probably why it's my most popular book, millions of readers. And it's also the book that is the one that people will stop me in the airport. It's the airport book. People are like, oh, I read The Universe Has Your Back. So I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah. I think it's also because you're known for making spirituality so accessible to the everyday person. That's your gift. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like how you were able to translate these topics and these ideas to the everyday person?
I really want to write that down, an accessible guide to a spiritual life. I think that needs to be the subtitle to my next book. So if you can remind me that we said guide to a spiritual life. Sometimes these things come to me. But I think accessibility is the word, because I find that when people want spirituality, they want to feel that connection, but they feel that it's something outside of themselves, or it's so far reaching, or it's not easy to access. And that's quite the opposite. It's actually in us. It's never left us. It's what is our true source. So the work isn't about going to get something or find something. It's about releasing the blocks to the presence of it. And so that accessibility, that word is so powerful. I'm really grateful that you gave that to me today.
Yeah, just out of that.
An accessible guide to a spiritual life. I think there's something in that. Yeah.
Look at this inspiration. I love it. All right, my loves, time for a short break. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, and this year I want to take a moment to say thank you to the therapists who show up for us. So many breakthroughs, moments of clarity, and reframes of limiting beliefs happen because there's a therapist who's created that safe space for healing to unfold. If you've been thinking about talking to someone, maybe something's been weighing on you, or you just want to understand yourself better, therapy can be that supportive space you're looking for. BetterHelp makes it easier to take that step. With over 12 years of experience and a network of over 30,000 licensed therapists, they've helped over 5 million people worldwide find the right therapeutic match. They do the matching work for you through a short questionnaire, and if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who've helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/TLL. That's betterhelp.com/TLL. So which one of your books felt the most aligned or the most special to create? Was it The Universe Has Your Back, or was it like another one?
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it really was The Universe Has Your Back, I really remember so fondly, and I love all of my books. I mean, there's 11 books, so I love them deeply, and I can share anecdotes to every single one about how it moved me and how it healed me. But that one I wrote at a really challenging time, the most challenging time in my life, and I wrote that book to heal myself. And the only thing that really brought me joy was writing that book at that time. So I really have very, very fond memories of that experience. And I can even think my way back into the little whitewashed room where there was the little tiny desk and the white ceilings and the white floors, and had this sort of like chapel-like ceiling. And I just was channeling that book in that room. And I long for that feeling. And in fact, I'm working on a new book right now, a really spiritual book, and I'm recreating that feeling in the writing process. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, tell me more about that. Like, what do you create the environment to channel, and what does that even feel like? Because I think that's why your books resonate, because you get to that place.
I have in the past written books with a deadline without sort of waiting and being clear, okay, this is the moment to write. I've just written the book. And I don't judge that, because I think that cadence of writing a book a year has been necessary for me. But with this next book, I've been a little bit not that much slow. You know, my last book came out in January, and I'm working on this new one, but I'm not pressuring myself to get it done at a certain time. And I, in fact, would rather wait a little bit longer. And so with that freedom, I'm just letting it come to me naturally. And I'm actually only in the process of really writing the proposal at this time. And it's sort of like a spark that comes through. The other day I was driving to the lake, and I just got this hit, and I heard this inner voice said something to me. And I was like, that's the thing I need to write about in this proposal. And I ran to the lake and I got my computer, brought it with me to the lake. And I sat down and all my friends' kids were playing. My kid was playing. And I was just like, I got to get into this. And I just downloaded all this messaging because it was so loud. And so I just respond to that inner call is really how I like to do it.
And how did you develop such a strong connection to this inner voice and inner call? Like, because I think everybody receives these messages, but most people don't know, is this the right voice I'm listening to? Or is this just like a random thought?
I think that you nailed it when you said the word develop, because it's not about something turning on, although it can, but it's developing a new way of thinking. Because as children, we developed storylines that were very fear-based and trauma-based and negative. And so it's about developing another storyline that is the truth, the true storyline, the true nature, the true love nature of who we are. But we have to develop that access to it because it's not conditioned. We've actually been conditioned the opposite. We've been conditioned to believe in stories that are quite the opposite of what it is that we want to be living. So the reconditioning and the developing of a new way of thinking is mandatory.
So I do want to talk about manifesting because you're like an expert manifester. So what would you tell someone who is having struggle manifesting their dreams in their life? Like, how do we actually manifest?
Manifesting is actually natural. It's not something that we do. It's who we are. It's who we are. We're always manifesting. Sometimes it's what we want and sometimes it's not what we want. We're manifesting our beliefs. We're manifesting the energy we put out. So no matter what's happening in our life is a manifestation of what we are sending out to the universe, the energy, the message, and the belief that we're sending to the universe. So the way to direct your manifesting towards more of what you want comes when you set the intention to focus your desires, when you set the intention to lean into joy and positivity, when you set the intention to surrender and let go and allow, when you put yourself into a point of attraction that's in alignment with what it is that you desire, rather than just not thinking or living haphazardly or being in this constant state of fear loop and stories that are negative, you are actually redirecting the thoughts, beliefs, and patterns so that you can become a point of attraction for what it is that you do want. And so again, it's a developing and it's an undoing and almost rewinding. And then you press play on a new energy. And that's how we manifest. So it, again, isn't something that we have to figure out. It's already there. We just have to undo a lot of the patterns that are blocking it.
Yes. Okay. And what do you say about the undoing? Because so many of us have those limiting beliefs, those fears that kind of run our nervous system and our everyday life. What are the steps? What's the process of undoing?
Well, my latest book, Self-Help, is actually a whole journey of undoing the beliefs that block you from your greatest desires. And so again, it's core beliefs. They've been around for as long as we can remember. And the way to undo them is not to override them or to judge them or to force them to be another way, but it's actually to befriend those beliefs. And so in my book, I share a four-step practice, which is called the self-help check-in. And it's a four-step check-in process. And so the first step is to notice that belief that you have on repeat or that thought that you have on repeat that's blocking you. And then check in with it. Choose to focus your attention towards it. The second step is to become curious about it. So where does it live in my body? What do I know about it? How long has it been around? What stories and beliefs are attached to it? And then the third step is to compassionately connect to it, which is where you'd say to this part of you, what do you need? And you're asking this young part of yourself, what do you need? And it's going to say like, I need to rest or I need to dance. And then the fourth step is to check for self, which is that qualities of calmness and the qualities of compassion and the qualities of clarity and commitment and courage and creativity. And you're going to check and see if any of those energies start to emerge, because that's a sign that you've actually started to get into relationship with that part of yourself rather than override it. And those four steps are a consistent practice, hopefully once a day, 1 minute a day or more, to just check in, check in, check in, instead of checking out. And that's a very profoundly powerful practice that is based on a science-backed therapy that I've democratized and translated into a self-help technique.
I want to go back to those four steps. Can you maybe give us an example in your life of something, whether it's a belief you worked through or something that was really challenging to overcome, and how those four steps helped you?
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that I live with for many years and I, you know, still consistently work with. And it's a part of me that's, that I would call the controller. And it's a part that is constantly trying to control the outcome of things and control how people do things and control my life. And so I've applied those four steps probably countless times, countless hours spent checking in with the controller. And as a result of being in constant contact with that part of myself and giving it the love that it needed, I've helped it really become unburdened and feel safer inside. And I don't feel that I'm nearly as controlling as I ever was. I feel like I've allowed that part of me to take on a new role and to be in control and on top of things, but not controlling. And so it's taken on a new valuable role instead of the role of being this victim of constantly trying to control everything.
And is that just through seeing what it actually needs, giving it like the compassion or the love?
Yes, giving it connection, compassion, clarity, creativity, just giving it those self qualities and connecting to it.
Does all of this happen in your mind, or are you actually journaling and working through it on paper?
Sometimes I journal it. Sometimes I do it in real time in my mind. Sometimes I talk it through with my therapist. Sometimes I'll do it with my husband. So it sort of depends. Typically, most commonly in my mind.
Okay. So let's rewind and tell us, like, define what is this system that you talked about and why is it so powerful? Because I think some people are they don't even have the grasp of the concept.
Yeah, totally. So internal family systems therapy is a therapy based on the premise that we have a lot of young parts of us inside that need our attention, that we have a lot of protection mechanisms that have been developed as really young children. And those protection mechanisms are protecting us from feeling very uncomfortable feelings as children. So feelings of trauma, feelings of inadequacy, not being good enough, not being lovable, fear-based belief systems. And so we start to protect against them very young. And some of those protector parts are, like I said, controlling or people-pleasing or perfectionism or addiction or numbing out and all these different patterns and behaviors and beliefs that we often judge the most are actually the parts of us that are trying to protect us the most. And so it's about recognizing these patterns, beliefs, and behaviors that we really don't like and getting into relationship with them and giving them our conscious connection, curiosity, and compassion, and so that they can settle and so they can feel seen, and so that these young inner children can actually relax and know that there's safety inside. And when we do that, that's actually when we start to, like I said earlier, change that point of attraction and start to feel different.
Yeah. What exactly happens when you help that part of you feel more loved and safe? Like, it still exists, right? But is it just that it takes a step back, or what? Yeah. How does that feel in you?
So what you'll feel is self energy. So that self energy is calmness. You'll feel compassion towards the part. You'll feel clarity about it. You'll feel curiosity. You'll feel courage, connection, confidence. Mm-hmm. And those C qualities kind of begin to emerge naturally. And that's what's there. That's what's left. Self is what's inside when we unburden these parts of ourselves.
Mm. And I see the lines between this and your spiritual practice. Because I know this is like is this psychology, this therapy system? Yep. But then you're also a very spiritual person, where self is self your soul? Like, how do you define this and connect this?
Self is God, self is spirit, self is soul, self is Buddha nature. It's the energy and the essence of the divine. It's the energy of love. It's the energy of calm and compassion. And so self is interchangeable with the spiritual essence. That's exactly right. It's a very spiritual psychological process.
Is it just basically a new way of thinking that you have to carry with you for the rest of your life? Meaning, like, this is not something that you're like, oh, I healed it once and I'm done, right?
Our spiritual practice and our personal development practice is an ongoing journey, but the more we bring to it, the easier it gets.
Okay, got it. Let's take another break for today's sponsor, Shopify. There's something powerful about the moment when you realize your creative vision doesn't have to stay inside your journal forever. By the way, our 2026 workbook is launching October 30th this year. When I first envisioned the Artist of Life workbook, I felt that calling, but I also felt overwhelmed by everything it would take to bring it to life. That's where Shopify changed everything. Instead of spending months learning the technicals, Shopify became the foundation that let me turn my vision into reality. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all US e-commerce. They offer hundreds of beautiful templates to build a store that reflects your authentic style, AI tools that handle product descriptions and enhance your photography, and marketing features that help you connect with people who truly resonate with your work. Meanwhile, Shopify holds space for all the logistics, inventory, payments, shipping, and returns, so your energy can flow toward what you're meant to bring into the world. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/TLL. Go to shopify.com/TLL. Again, that's shopify.com/TLL. I know a big part of what people struggle with are things like addictions, like they're numbing or running away from something. So how does this system help us overcome something like that?
It's major for addiction, because what is addiction? It's a way of checking out. And so this is a practice of checking in. And so addiction is an extreme form of protection. And in IFS, it's called a firefighter. And in the book, I don't really advise that we practice this practice with the addiction parts, because the very extreme addictions, because I think that's best for therapy or treatment and or 12-step, and it's a place to find that safety. But it can be applied to some addictions that don't feel life-threatening to you or very extreme. And it's a way of getting into relationship with the parts of yourself that are protecting in such extreme ways. So addiction, if you think about it, why would we become addicted? Because we're running from something. And so we're running, and trying to numb out the pain. And the year that I wrote this book, I actually worked as a fellow at a recovery center. And every month I would go in and there'd be another 100 new people in the recovery center a day or two sober. And I'd ask them all to raise their hand and answer this question. I'd say, how many of you have experienced trauma as a child? And every single hand would go up. And then I would say, well, then wouldn't it make sense that you would do whatever it took to not have to feel that pain again? And every hand would go up. And then I'd say, well, then can you see that your addiction was a form of protection? And I would see everybody would start to stop sobbing in the room to start to see themselves through that lens. And so addiction is one of the greatest, most hardcore protectors. And it's there for typically for those of us who've experienced the most extreme traumas, including myself. And so it makes sense that we would become addicted, because we want to do whatever it takes to put out the flames of the fire that's burning inside.
So a firefighter is the same thing as a protector, but just more extreme.
Yes, so there's two types of protectors. There's managers and firefighters. And the managers are the parts that are sort of on call all day long, kind of controlling or people-pleasing or managing. And when those managers can't get the job done, that's when the firefighters start to come in and they want to put out the flames, and they're going to pick up the drink or pick up the drugs or pick up the boyfriend or whatever it is to just numb out.
I see. It's just the extreme response. But the way you deal with it, is it the same? It's like, yes, you still go through those four steps. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. So what do you hope that people get from reading your book, Self-Help?
Oh, I hope that they recognize that whether they can afford therapy or not, that they have a therapeutic process that they can access. And that was the intention of writing that book, was to democratize this incredible therapy that healed my life. And to say to anyone, you can use the foundations of this therapy in your own life in real time, and you can do it as a self-help practice safely with the guidance of this book. And it will enhance your therapy if you're in therapy, and it will give you the taste of this therapy if you can't afford therapy, or you don't want therapy, or you don't have access to therapy. So it's a miracle. It's a miracle to be able to have been able to turn this life-changing trauma therapy into a self-help practice with the blessing of the founder, Dr. Richard Schwartz. It's the coolest thing I've done. I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Or you recently created another Audible original. So it's like the 7 Habits of a Super Attractor. I do want to talk about that as well. What does it mean to be a super attractor?
What it means to be a super attractor is that you live with the faith and the knowing that there is an energy beyond your physical sight guiding you and showing you where to go and helping you attract your desires towards you. And it also means that you're attuned to your energy and that you recognize the power of your energy. And that when you're in alignment with that power, that super attractor power, you become a magnet for what you want. You can start to redirect your focus and be more intentional. And you can begin to hold visions that start to become your reality and co-create your life with an energetic presence of the universe. That's what it means to be a super attractor.
Can you share some of the seven habits?
Yes. So there's habits on visualization. There's habits on surrender. There's habits on joy being the ultimate creator and having fun. There's a habit on just really trusting the universe, believing in the universe. I don't want to give it all away, but there's lessons and really speaks to the energy of what it means to be a super attractor and how to get into the alignment with that energy.
So what would you say is the most important habit if you were to pick one that you're like, you must do this? This is the one.
Trusting the universe.
Yep. That just happens to be one of the hardest ones. What do you have to say about people who struggle to just surrender and trust?
I like to tell people that they can just give it away just for the day. So take the thing that you've been carrying and holding on to and offer it up just for the day, just for one day. Give it away just for the day.
What does it look like in your daily or weekly life to be a super attractor? Like, what are the things that you're doing? What are the ways that you're thinking and just being this magnet?
Well, I'm thinking about what I'm eating and what I'm thinking and how I'm acting and what I'm believing and how I'm sleeping and just really recognizing that all of the things that I do and all of the thoughts that I have are actually affecting the vessel that I am. And as I start to be more mindful and conscious of the vessel and what I put into it and what I put out of it, I am very connected to aligning my power and my energy with that higher source of power, which is the universal energy of love. And so as I'm in that constant connection, I am attuning my energy, aligning my energy, and using it for good and directing it towards what I desire. And like I said earlier, co-creating my life.
And when you say desires, are you focusing on like imagining the exact outcomes or are you really focusing more on the feelings of what you desire?
I think it's very valuable to have visions, but those visions without emotional connection don't manifest. So it's about having the vision and then feeling the energy of that vision and letting the energy of that vision bring forth joy and bring forth this connection and that positive vibration. And it's not about being obsessed with that outcome. It's about having a vision, having an energy, and then letting it go and seeing where you're led.
This is something that you just practice every day. Do you actually sit down and think about your vision or is it like, what does that look like?
The thing I do every day is I design my day. So I say my daily design method, which is I lie down and this is right when I wake up in the morning and I ask myself four questions and I say, who do I want to be today? How do I want to feel today? What do I want to give today? And what do I want to receive today? And by asking myself those four questions, I'm actually putting myself into a point of attraction because I'm aligning my thoughts and my energy with what it is that I want to bring forth. And that's a very powerful technique for co-creating your day and your reality.
How do you respond when things are not going your way? Are you still trusting or do you ever feel like you're manifesting negative things?
These days I'm really good about looking at the obstacles as detours in the right direction and really, really living that in most situations and seeing something's not working out and being like, well, that's not meant for me. And then trusting if it's meant for me, it will be there. It will come to me. If it's meant for me, I can ask and it will be given. But if it's not meant for me, it's not coming.
Another question, I mean, a similar question for people who are going through like a difficult period of their life, like how can we maintain faith during hard times?
I think the way to maintain faith during hard times is to develop faith in the not so hard times. So if we're in a constant relationship of developing faith through reading books like The Universe Has Your Back or Super Attractor or practicing self-help, then what happens is we start to build up a muscle that is very strong. And then let's say we fall, the muscles are what keep us together. It's similar to how muscles protect your bones. The muscles, you need to physically train for when moments of crisis happen, right? If you fall, if you break something, the muscles are going to protect you. And that's the same thing with the muscle of faith. If you're developing that faith muscle, it will be there for you to fall into safely. And I've lived that in my own life in many ways. So if you're already in this moment, in a moment of crisis, then developing that faith can actually sometimes be easier, because when there's nowhere to go from here, that faith and that connection to a higher power actually is the only door that you want to open, because all the other doors are shut. So the answer is twofold. If you're in a good spot, develop the faith like a full-time job so that it's there for you when you need it most, and even in the good times. And then if you're in a moment of crisis right now, use it as an opening. Let that be a door that opens and that light can enter.
And sometimes that's the blessing in disguise. So Gabby, what are you most excited about right now in your life?
I'm very excited about launching Gabby AI. So I have created, with 20 years of my work, my 11 books and 800 hours of audio. I mean, I don't even know how much, it's so much audio, meditations, practices. I've created this Gabby AI clone, pretty much, where it is my voice and my work and my training coaching people. And that is going to be inside my Gabby coaching app. And it's just kind of 24/7 Gabby coaching. It's there for you all the time. And I'm just truly proud of it. I'm so proud of it.
That's crazy. I see more and more people doing something like that. So have you tested it, or is it still early phases of creating it?
Oh yeah, no. We're in the alpha test right now.
Oh, great.
And it'll be in beta in the app in like a week or two. So by the time this comes out, it'll be very thriving inside my app. The app, you can try it for free, deargabby.com/app. And then there'll be a way to try the AI for a few questions. Just try it. And that'll all be available on my website as well, deargabby.com.
Yeah. So when you were testing it, were the responses very accurate, where you're like, I would say that? Or
sometimes it was saying things better than me.
I really?
Was like, wow, that was an excellent response. A while to tune it. You put a lot of energy into it, and you want to make sure that you put boundaries and bumpers around it. But right. I mean, it's powered by my work and my messages, so I trust it.
I see. Because I'm curious, you've been, you know, creating all these content and messages for so long. Do you feel like your message has changed, or your teaching, or?
Well, I think that my teachings have developed over time, because I've been growing as a student. So year after year and book after book, my messages have grown because I've grown, but the core message is still the same.
I see. I'm just curious if, like, you're working with your AI and you're like, that's something I would have said 10 years ago, but like not now.
I haven't come across that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
But also the things I would have said 10 years ago, I still kind of can get behind. So I think we're good.
Yeah. No, that's so fun. Tell us more about your daily, weekly rituals. I know you mentioned some manifesting ones, but like, what do you do to stay grounded, connected, and at peace?
Well, I walk at least 8,000 steps a day, at least. I try to get to 13,000. I exercise very actively. I cook a lot. I practice all my self-help tools. I'm constantly practicing that self-help check-in. I meditate daily. I have elevated spiritual conversations with friends. I engage in community. I just have fun with life, I think, is the biggest thing. It's just having fun, playfulness with my son. Yeah, having a lot of fun is the biggest thing.
How much time would you say, if you were to break down percentages of like, this much of my life is spent like on my career and work, this much in family, this much in like taking care of yourself? Because you seem like a very busy person, but busy doesn't mean you're always working, right? I'm curious how you balance everything.
I feel like it's like one third, one third, one third, a little bit. Yeah, I feel quite balanced, because I do spend a lot of time working, but I also spend a lot of time on my personal self and my well-being. And then I also spend a lot of time with my family. So I think it really is one third, one third, one third. Wow. It really is. At times it could be more work than family, which is great, but it's not typical.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that there would be seasons where one takes more time than the other.
Absolutely. Yes.
But I guess for all the listeners out there, whether they're like moms or they want a career and women, we want it all.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people on how do you balance, be successful while staying grounded and connected, all of that?
You know, I got really good advice when I was younger from Arianna Huffington, and she said, you can have it all, just not all at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful, because when we get that and we realize, well, it's not going to all happen at the same time, we're patient and we're in a season for something here and a season for something there. I think that's a really important message.
Is your life different when you're in book writing mode versus like the other modes? Or are you always creating and working on all your platforms?
I mean, I've kind of always been always on. I do intend to hopefully take some space to do some writing just separately for like 2 weeks or a week or, you know, here and there, just find that space. But my life is pretty consistently always on in different areas, which is not my ideal situation, but it is what it is. But yeah. I can carve out space. So when I was writing The 7 Habits of a Super Attractor, I took a 4-day weekend and went to my friend's retreat center in Topanga. And I just ate really yogi food and did a lot of yoga and ice baths and wrote there. That was actually the first time I ever actually went away to go write. And it was amazing. It was so fabulous to be able to do that. And I finished the book there. Yeah.
In 4 days?
Finished it. Yeah, in 4 days.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so out of everything that you've experienced in your life, like what is the one practice that you highly recommend to everybody to really commit to if they want to make a big change?
If you want to change your life, practice the self-help check-in, the 4 steps I gave you. That's it. That's the number one thing.
Gabby, if you were to go back to your 25-year-old self, what would you tell her? Like if you had the opportunity for like a real sit-down conversation.
Oh my God, I would look at her and I'd be like, everything is going to be amazing. You're amazing. You're a rock star. You're going to be such a powerful force in the world. I love you. I'm so proud of you. That's what I would say to my 25-year-old self.
I love it. And which brings me to another question. I'm curious, what's your confidence journey? Like, have you always been a confident type of person? When you started this career, did you know you were going to be a superstar? Or I guess, what did that path look like in the beginning?
My path to confidence has really been an undoing. It's been undoing the false pretenses I'd placed upon myself and remembering the cool person I am inside. And the more I have reclaimed my authentic truth, the more confident I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I think with age, you're just letting more go and then you just reveal your true self.
Definitely.
Any other tips for people out there who are just building their career and learning to be their most authentic self?
I mean, really just practice being yourself as much as possible. So the person you are when you're with your best friends, the person you are when you're with your family, the person you are when you're just the most relaxed in your sweatpants, just chilling, that is practice being that as much as possible, because that's the person that people want to date. That's the person people want to hire. That's the person that people want to elevate. That's the person that is going to have an impact. And so practice being you.
So Gabby, what do you think about the future of your life or your legacy? Like, do you want to continue writing books? Do you like, I'm just curious, like, what do you see for your vision right now?
Just more of this, please, right? I think I'm going to keep going, writing books for the rest of my life, speaking as a public speaker for the rest of my life. I'm sure that there's some bigger projects on the horizon that are going to support my work and get it out there in bigger ways. And I'm not really attached to what's next. I'm just in the knowing that there's a lot more. And in some ways, feeling like I never have even started my career yet. I think that
really
there's a lot more coming. Yeah.
From your point of view, it's like, you're up there, but I love how you say that you feel like you're just starting and there's so much more for you.
Yeah, a lot more.
It's like the manifesting happening still.
Yeah, I also feel that psychically and know that there's so much more.
I love it. That's so exciting. If you were to leave the listeners with any final piece of advice today, what would that be?
To choose again, to notice that fear-based thought that you have on repeat and forgive yourself for having that thought, and to choose the next best feeling thought. Choose again.
Choose again. Like, you always have the power to choose which thought to believe in. Yeah.
You really do.
Awesome. Okay, Gabby, where can we find you online?
At Gabby Bernstein, Gabrielle Bernstein on YouTube. I'm really rocking my YouTube channel right now. So YouTube would be the place to go subscribe. I've got such cool podcasts and YouTubes that come out there. 2 videos a week of really good how-to videos, and my Dear Gabby podcast all over the place. But I think the best place is deargabby.com, where everything is.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your wisdom with us today. I am just so grateful for you. In general, thank you for what you do.
Right back at you. Thank you. This was beautiful. You're so wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like the podcast, please share your support by leaving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe to our podcast YouTube channel at youtube.com/lavenderlifestyle and follow our Instagram @lavenderlifestyle. Sending you so much love. Bye.